Amen. Thank you, Nate. Open your Bibles here tonight, Book of Philippians, to start, and then we'll go over to the Book of Acts here, and Philippians chapter 3. And while you're turning there, does anybody have a blessing or a praise they want to share? Anything to thank the Lord for? Yes, Jim? Okay. Yes, it is a good song. I was thinking that last verse, that, you know, about the Lord Jesus coming back again. I mean, can't come soon enough. Yeah. So, yes. Anybody else have a blessing? Anything they're thankful for? Any?
Thank you for safety.
Yes.
It was a little interesting going.
Okay.
I had to go through the de-icing procedure and all that stuff. Just thankful for that. Kiddos and my girls. It was good. Got to teach on Sunday. Wasn't here. I was in the car. Malachi, Grandma, can you give me a Bible story?
Oh, that's good stuff, yes.
It's a blessing to be able to do that.
Sure.
You can't get enough of it. Can you give me another story? Can you give me another Bible story?
Yeah, well, their hearts are tender. Mm-hmm. Keep putting it in there, line upon line. Yes, absolutely. Well, praise the Lord. We're glad you had a great trip back and while you were there. Any other blessings? Anybody else have anything they want to share?
I'm glad she's back.
Yes. You miss her cooking, Bob?
I was glad to have a good cook meal tonight.
Okay. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord. All righty. Well, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 and following. Follow along as I read verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word we have here tonight, and I pray you bless it to our hearts. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Pray the Holy Spirit bear witness of your word in our hearts, that we might be believers that draw near to you. And Father, I pray that you would encourage us, strengthen us in our faith. I thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, help me be a vessel, honors your Son and your word, and brings glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I shared this story some time back, but I'll share it again tonight here. There's a fellow called a headhunter. He helps men find jobs. And if you're out of work, and typically these type of people are more on your higher professional levels. And but companies have these guys, and typically a headhunter knows all the HR people and all these big companies, and he's networked with them, and he knows the ins and outs of these companies. And so people that are looking for work contact a headhunter, who, because it's not what you know, it's who you know sometimes that gets you ahead. And so this fellow who's done this for many years, worked with a lot of executives and trying to help them get located in companies, and he always had this one question he'd throw at him sometimes. And and he says it's so amusing to him, because what he'll do, he said he does this on purpose. He gets them very relaxed. He talks about family, sports, you know, anything. It's just casual conversation. And, you know, because this guy's looking for a job, and, you know, if you're looking for a job, you're a little tense, a little on edge. You know, you're trying to, like, put your best foot forward. And so he gets them real relaxed, and then he just asks them this question. He says, what is your purpose in life? And he says, it's amazing how that just melts some people, because they don't know what to say sometimes. You know, they all prepared about their job qualifications and their work history and all, but he throws this question, what is your purpose in life? And he says he's seen some highly educated men just freeze, because they don't know how to answer that question. They don't know what to say. What is their purpose in life? Now, we just read some scripture here tonight. Can anybody point out something in verses 10 through 14, what Paul's purpose in life was? Look at verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Does that sound like a very focused purpose in life? Does that sound like he knew where he was going and what he was doing? Now, sometimes in people's lives, now, I remember hearing Elizabeth Elliot talk about this one time. When she came off the mission field in Ecuador, when she came back, it was a little disorienting because she was been a missionary all of her life. And then all of a sudden she comes back to the States, and who is she? Do you see how her dilemma was? I mean, she's not a missionary anymore. She's living back here. So who is she, or what is she? Do you see how that can be kind of turn your world upside down? But what she came to, and I just remember in her testimony, what she said, she goes, you know what I realized my purpose was? It's just be a servant of God. I can serve him in Ecuador. I can serve him here in America. Wherever I am, I can be his servant. And see, if you lose your focus in life, what your purpose is, all of a sudden your world can just be shaky ground. You don't know where you're going or where you belong or what you should be doing. And things change. You know, you can have family that passes away and all of a sudden your whole world changes. You can have a ministry that you did for years and because of health reasons, you may lose your ministry. I mean, all of a sudden your whole world. But if you know your purpose, what does that do for you? That keeps you sailing straight ahead. It keeps you going in the direction. For Paul, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now that word, I press. Now, when he says I press, give me some imagery back. What is that saying when he says I press? Strain or strive, okay.
You've always been in a race.
In a race, okay.
Always a race.
Okay, now... Okay, and I like that image. I like what you said, Nancy. Also, Victor, in a race, when they get right near the ribbon, what do? When they get right near the end, they kind of push themselves that little. They're pressing forward because they want to cross that finish line. Well, I press toward the mark. Now, the mark gives you a sense of what he's saying here. I have something out there that I'm aiming for. I'm aiming for this. See, if you aim at nothing, guess what? You're going to hit it every time. But if you aim for Jesus Christ, that's the mark. The mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So that press is that effort he's putting forth. That mark is what I'm aiming for. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Knowing who we belong to. The calling of God in Christ Jesus. That high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, is it a high calling of God to be named a Christian? Is that a high calling? Absolutely. We're the sons and daughters of God. You know, that is a high calling. And for Paul here, he realized that. Now, with that in the background, I want us to turn to the book of Acts here because Paul knew his purpose. Now, and we got down Acts 23, down to verse 11, picking up tonight in verse 12. Paul was a very focused man and what he wanted to do for God. In verse 12, now, a little background here. Paul was arrested. The centurion, the captain of the guard, brought him before the high priests and Sadducees. Last week we looked at this, and he was not going to get a fair hearing. Paul, in his wisdom, he identified himself as a Pharisee with the part of the group that was a Pharisee. He ended up having the group turn upon themselves. And got himself out of a bad situation because he wouldn't have got a fair hearing. I mean, he barely got 12 words out before they hit him on the mouth. It wasn't a good situation. But in his wisdom, he was able to get away from that situation. And verse 11, the Lord Jesus gave him a word of encouragement. Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast been testified to me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. He had God's blessing. God was with him, although he was a prisoner. Now, verse 12, the story comes. When it was day after the night, certain Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And there was more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. Now, certain Jews. Now, the Jews have the Ten Commandments. Name one of the Ten Commandments that would go against what they were planning to do. Thou shalt not kill. Now, out of, you know, just if you took all the Old Testament and just narrowed it down to those 10, that's all you knew, and thou shalt not kill should be right there. But what's interesting about what they were going to do, now, God said thou shalt not kill because Paul hadn't done anything worthy. He hadn't killed any man. You know, if you shed man's blood, by your blood shall be shed. Well, he hadn't killed anybody. He had done nothing worthy of death, but they were going to kill him. Now, look at what's interesting here. These 40 men, they were going to eat and drink. Then they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. What are they saying? Now, they're bad guys, okay? But what are they saying about the chief priests and the elders? They're going and telling them their plan. What is that? What is that? How does the indicators point to these guys? In other words, if they're going to commit murder, they're thinking they're going to go along with our plan. Do you see how he's... Paul had nobody around them that was going to honor God's word. It was a bad situation for Paul. Came to the chief priests and elders and says, we've bound ourselves under a great curse. We eat nothing. And they were going to go along with it. Now they work out the details here. Now therefore ye with the council signify, that the ruling elders, Sanhedrin, signify to the chief captain, and he would bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, that, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. Wow. What a plan. Now, turn to Psalm 34, 7 here for a minute. Psalm 34, 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them. Is that true? Is that true? That's what God's word is. That is true. Read this next. Okay. They're ready to kill him, verse 15. Look at verse 16. When Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, their plot, their plan, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Now, we know nothing of Paul's sister. We know nothing of Paul's sister's son. But obviously, they were caring for Paul, involved in his life at this time while he was a prisoner. And they told Paul what they heard. Now, this is like talk on the street, or somehow they heard it, somehow. And they went and say, Paul, do you know what's happening here? Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he has a certain thing to tell him. He took him and brought him, and the chief captain said to Paul the prisoner, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, which has something to say unto thee. And the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is thou that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldst bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would have inquired somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for they lie in wait of him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath. They will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain let the young man depart, charge him, see, thou tell no man that thou hast shown these things to me. Okay, now I want you to think about Paul. Okay, what was his purpose in life? What was his purpose? Preach the gospel, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. He had purposes built into him. See, when you have purposes built in and opposition come against you, does Paul facing some opposition here? Huge opposition. What makes this opposition even more painful for Paul? Who is his enemy? Rome? No, who's his enemy? His own people. That makes it even more painful. Because he would think that they would honor the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, what? Kill. And here they are trying to kill him, his very own people. That makes it even more painful. And then to even heighten the pain, turn to Romans here, chapter 10. You could go either 9 or 10. Look at chapter 10 here, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire, Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be what? Saved. Here they are trying to kill him, and he's trying to bring them the gospel. Makes it even more painful. The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that what? Fear him. Paul was right in God's will. And now, what's interesting here is that Rome is protecting Paul. If you read through Acts, over and again, the Romans, they had no problem with Christianity and the gospel. It was always the Jewish people that were hounding Paul and other believers. This captain, he's got a problem on his hands now. Now, think this through here for a minute. I want just a little side note here. These 40 men, was one of the disciples called a zealot? Do you remember that? What is a zealot? Anybody know what a zealot is? Okay, a radical against who? Against the Romans. Okay, these were Jewish people. Now see, Rome was in control. So if a Roman soldier's walking down the street in the crowd and people passing, they would carry these little daggers with them. And they would hide them in their clothing, just little daggers. And they come up behind a Roman soldier and you have to catch them under the rib cage. And they take these little daggers and get them under the rib cage and then they just disappear into the crowd. And these 40 people here were probably of the group that was fighting against Rome also. This chief captain, he's well aware of people that want to kill people. Okay, he's on it. As soon as he heard this, he knew how they operate because they come quickly, they hit you, and they're gone. And as soon as they heard they were going to do that to Paul, that's what they thought. They're going to rush him, stab him, and then take off. And so immediately the chief captain, now he's Roman. Who is Paul? He's a Roman citizen. What is his duty as a captain? To protect the citizens. So he's on Paul now. He's all over him. Read what he did here. He called unto him two centurions. How many soldiers does that represent? A centurion has how many soldiers? 100. That's 200 men. Saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, that's 70, and spearmen 200. How many soldiers is that? Add that up real quick. 470 men. There was just about 1,000 that were stationed there in the Tower of Antonia. That's almost like half his men he gave to protect one man, Paul. The angel of the Lord encamp around them that fear him. Paul was defenseless, but God said, Paul, I got your back. I got your back here. 470 at the third hour. That is Roman time. That's 9 in the evening. They're leaving in the middle of the night. Well, not the middle of the night, but 9 p.m., third hour of the night. Pride them with beasts. They may set Paul on, bring him safely to Felix the governor. What was this commander doing? He was kicking it up the ladder here. Because, all right, you got to think through how he was thinking. All right, they're going to try to kill Paul, but I'm not going to let them. So if he kept Paul in Jerusalem, if plan A didn't work, they'd go to what? Plan B. If that didn't work, they'd go to a plan C. If that didn't work, they'd go to plan. They'd just keep on until all they needed was one plan to work. So best thing he knew to do is get Paul out of there. So he transferred him to the governor in Caesarea because there would be more troops there where the governor was. He wanted to get this situation diffused here for him in Jerusalem, because his obligation was to keep the peace for Rome in there in Jerusalem. 470 soldiers, and he wrote the governor this letter. I don't know if you ever analyzed this letter here, and verse 26, Claudius, Lystra, unto the most excellent governor Felix sendeth greetings. This man was taken of the Jews that he should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. What's wrong with how he stated that in verse 26? Now, he stated in such a way that makes him look good, but what's not the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, in verse 27? What really happened? When he first arrested him, he thought what? He was what nationality? He was an Egyptian. Yeah, he thought he was an Egyptian, and he bounded him, ready to whip him. And then all of a sudden he found out he's a Roman. Then he knew he could be in big trouble for binding a Roman citizen. Here is one thing that's not even stated here, but it's important. Every Roman citizen had the right to face his accusers. Is that in our court of law too? Supposed to be. Paul had every right to face his accusers. That's why they had to come and testify against him. So, anyway, he put himself in the best light. So this letter is true, but it's, he kind of fudged the edges there. It wasn't the whole truth. But when I would have known the cause whereof they accused him and brought him forth to their council. See, he was going to whip him, couldn't find him out. He brought him to the council, he couldn't find out. He didn't know what they were so upset with him about. He might proceed to be accused of questioning of their laws, but have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or bonds, chains. And when it was told me how the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straight wait to thee and gave commandment to his accusers. See, his accusers, that's Roman law. You have every right to face your accusers. Also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Then the soldiers of those commanded took Paul, brought him by the night to Antipas. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and return to the castle, the barracks. Who, when they came to Caesarea, delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul before him. When the governor had read the letter, he asked what province he was. When he understood that he was of Cilicia, I will hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. Wow. One man. You know, Paul knew his purpose. And do you remember the scripture where he said, none of these things move me? He knew who he was and what he was doing. Now, application. We can have huge resistance, problems. All we want to do is see people get saved. But God is going to be faithful to us, and God's going to watch over us and help us, and God's going to encourage us and strengthen us. And God can use 470 soldiers if he wants to protect us. Was Paul in God's will when all this was happening? He was. What does it say in verse 11? Thou must bear witness also at where? At Rome. It was, now Paul may have chose a little different route to get to Rome, but he's going to get there. But this was God's will for him. So know your purpose and stick to your purpose in life, and it will guide you through those dark days when you face a lot of problems and struggles. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, I thank you for what we looked at here tonight. Encourage our hearts to be faithful to our high calling in Christ Jesus. And Lord, to know our purpose in life is to love you and serve you and to be in the center of your will and to fight the good fight of faith. And Lord, although we might have many problems, discouragements, and struggles, we know that our God is faithful. And Lord, we will know that one day we shall see thee face to face. Until that day appears, Lord, help us be faithful to the cause of Christ and your high calling that you have on each of us as your sons and daughters of Almighty God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, take your prayer sheets out here tonight.